Alright, so today's March the 2nd. Wow, this year's going to fly by fast too, isn't it? And so, yes, I believe it is, the 9th. So there's a lot of things on our, handout or our bulletin today. A lot of things going on. Word First work days in there, March the 8th and the 22nd, I put on the board here. We have a fundraiser coming up. We have baby dedications going on, VBS meetings, vision conferences coming up, Christ Soccer Academy, all these things. And so we are a busy church, so check out the bulletin. So let's go ahead and get back on our lesson today. Hebrews chapter 11, we're talking about faith. We're already on lesson number 7, and so let's go through a review here. So a review from the last few weeks. Faith is a possession that we have that contains the promises that we expect to what?
Receive.
Receive goes in your blank. Based on God's word. Okay. And I'm going to probably keep doing that and leaving out a blank because you know what my goal is? You know, repetition's cost of learning, right? So I'm going to keep going over this over and over and over because not only, hopefully it helps you because it helps me. Because when somebody asks you, give me a definition of faith, you should be able to pop one out, man. I mean, I've got it. And so that's what we're looking at, faith. What is faith all about? Okay. When people say, show me your faith, you know, they should see it in our life. You know, when something good happens to us and when God answers one of our prayers, we should let people know, right? Our kids should know that. And I look back in my life and I'm like, you know, I don't think I did a real good job showing my kids that when God answered a prayer of mine, that I let them know that. I should have done a much better job. But yet, I'm here now, so from this moment forward, I need to show that, not just to my kids, but people around me. You know, it's like, hey, you go to work and you're like, hey, let me tell you, I've been praying for this and this is what God did for me. That's what we should be doing, right? Because not only does it help us, because I think we get in the mode, now maybe you guys don't, but I do. You know, God answers a prayer and I kind of check that off and I move on. I'm like, no, wait a minute, what did he just do for me? Because we're going to look at that in the Bible today in the story that we're at. And see how they responded. And a lot of times I think we respond a lot like them. But anyway, on our review, Isaac saw his father's faith and it influenced goes in your blank, his faith. So when Abraham's getting ready to kill Isaac, he has him all strapped down, he's on the altar and the sword's coming down. Do you think that was real to Isaac?
Oh, yeah.
That's as real as it gets. And then he hears a voice. Do you think Abraham was the only one that heard the voice from heaven that said stop? Isaac's probably sitting there. And if it was me, I'd probably be wetting my pants about that time. And he hear a voice. Well, what did that was, God was showing Abraham's faith at that point. But what did that do to Isaac? It should have sucked him right in too. And so he's like, okay, now I'm going to, you know, I'm seeing what my relationship with my dad is. I need to have a relationship like that. Okay, hopefully that's what was going on. So he saw his father's faith and it influenced his faith. So he received a blessing from his father Abraham as well as promises from God himself. We saw that the last couple weeks. As a result, at the end of his life, he was able to bless his two sons, Jacob and Esau, because he was confident that God would perform his promises to them like he had performed the promises to him, to himself. Okay. So Hebrews 11:21. Okay. So here's our next guy we're going to talk about. Hebrews 11:21 says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on top of his staff. And so, a lot like the verse we just saw with Isaac. It's kind of like same thing, different guy. But we see here, and I want to point this out, that Jacob here has, who's in the next verse? By faith, Joseph, so that's his son. Jacob has one verse One verse in Hebrews. One verse in Hebrews. And Hebrews is what? Hebrews 11 is what? It's the Hall of Faith. So it's like Jacob has one verse in there. And you're like, well, what's the big deal, Bob? Well, the big deal is he's got, I thought I had it wrote down, but he don't. He's got like from Genesis 25 to Genesis 50, he's involved in. So that's how many chapters? 25 chapters somehow he's connected to. Talking about he's either born or something through his life, or at the very end he's blessing all of his sons right before he passes away. 25 chapters in the book of Genesis, and when we get to the book of Hebrews, there's one verse. You know what that tells me? What's it tell you? You'd have thought he'd have had more in there, wouldn't you? And yet here's a man that we think very highly of. Well, sort of, because his name means what? For you Bible students. No, Jacob doesn't mean Jesus. Supplanter or schemer. Okay. You'd have thought he had, but still, that's what his name means. But yet, 25 chapters in the book, one verse in Hebrews. And my point is, out of all the things that God wrote about him, when it came down to his faith, he gets one verse. But you know, here's my point. He still got one verse. Okay? And so when I look at Jacob's life and I see all the stuff that went on, and he gets one verse in the Hall of Faith, that tells me, hey, Bob, hopefully you get one verse in there somewhere. You know, at least, you know, Jacob, let me just flat out say it. There's a lot of times that Jacob messed up. There's a lot of things he did that was wrong. In fact, if you go back and look at Abraham and Isaac that we've already studied, they did a lot of things wrong. And we put these people high up on pedestals and go, oh, Father Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're these great men of faith in the Old Testament. And, you know, they were with God and everything was cool in their life. And you're like, you go back and study it and you go, well, wait a minute. It wasn't always so cool with them, because there's a lot of times they were just flat goofing off or doing what was wrong. What's that?
We should,
because we need to realize they're not any different than we are. And so, even though, how many of you guys have ever messed up? I have, I mean, big time. I'd like to have a do-over, just start from about 30 and just redo things. I really would. You know, hear these people go, oh, I'd never want to go back and redo. I'd never want to redo. Hey, I would, because I'd try to fix some things. I don't know if I would, but I'd try to. Okay, and yet we do the same things these guys do, so it should give us comfort. But at the same time, it also, we need to realize we need to put our faith. We need to do better than what we did. But in other words, God used these mishaps, guys. These guys, He'll use us. Okay, we're not any different. We're not any better. What God did for them, He will do for us. In fact, we have better promises in the New Testament than what they had in the Old Testament. But at the same time, God Himself has not appeared to me in person. Has He appeared to any of you? Have you had any dreams where God told you something? Where He actually appeared to them, you would think, my gosh, what does it take for you guys to follow God when He actually appears and walks with you? I mean, Adam, Noah, all these people, they walked with God. God came down and walked with them. We don't get that privilege. So we're going to have to believe it by faith. But yet we need to put it in force. So we're going to look at how Jacob was able by faith to bless the sons of Joseph because of what the Lord had. You got a blank there. Jacob was able by faith to bless the sons of Joseph. Now that's his grandsons, but it's specific grandsons. It's his two grandsons through Joseph. Because, how was he able to bless them? Because of what the Lord had done for him. He goes, what God, I know God will do this for you because this is what He's already done for me. That's what He's telling them. And so we're going to look at Jacob's blessing of the sons of Joseph. In fact, let me read chapter 11:21 again. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. So let's go and look at that back in Genesis, when that happened. Genesis chapter 48 and verses 1 and 2. To start with, and we're going to bounce around a little bit through the chapter, but we're going to start off in chapter 48 of Genesis, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, now they're in the land of Egypt, he says, behold, thy father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. So now jump down to verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons. And at this time, Israel is who?
Jacob.
It's Jacob. So you'll see the Bible's using Jacob and Israel interchangeably here. Okay? Because God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Okay? Earlier. Verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and he said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. Now at this point, he's very close to death, so he wants to bless these two grandsons. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. So, you know, Jacob didn't think he'd ever see Joseph again. You guys know the story. And yet he's telling them here at the end of his life, he goes, I never thought I'd see you again. And now God has allowed me to see your sons, your seed, basically. Okay? And verse 12, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands willingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, the father, first, and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now I'm going to stop the story there. So he's basically wanting to bless his grandchildren at this point, because he's been blessed. So he wants to pass that on to them. And he knows that that blessing that Abraham got from God went to Isaac, and it's went to him, and now he's passing it along. But this is not everything that he gives the 12 sons later in the next chapter in 49, but he wants to bless the two grandsons. And they kind of get in on the blessing. Okay? And so this is what it's talking about back in Hebrews 11:21. This is when it happens. Okay? And so why is it that Jacob... why could Jacob bless them? Well, number one, God had blessed Abraham on your handout. Abraham had blessed Isaac. Isaac had blessed Jacob and Esau. And not only had Jacob, Isaac been blessed by their fathers, they were also blessed by the Lord himself. The Lord goes in there. So each one of these so far has got a blessing from the Father, but they also got a blessing from the Lord. So he also reconfirmed it. Okay? And so that's part of the reason why Jacob now could bless his son, his grandsons. So we're going to go back and look at the Lord's number two. Look at the Lord's blessing to Jacob. What had God done to Jacob through his life so he could get to this point? Okay? So let's go back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 10 through 22. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So we're picking up the story where he's going to Laban, going back to Haran, okay? Because why? Well, no, not necessarily. He's on the run. He's on the run from who?
Esau.
Esau, okay? And Isaac and Rebekah send him back up to Haran. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So here he sees the Lord himself giving him the land that he had given to his father and grandfather. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of, or spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely I had some bad pizza last night. No, he doesn't say that, does it? He doesn't say, you know, what's going on here. He knows exactly who he talked to, and he knows exactly what the Lord had told him. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows. Now, I've been camping before, but I've never used a rock as a pillow. Have you guys? This is one tough dude, man. And he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it, and he named the name of that place Bethel. Now, we have heard of other stories of Bethel in the Bible, haven't we? But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Isn't that what the Lord just told him he was going to do? And he says, if, right? So he's still doubting at this point. And then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Well, it must have really shook him up, because he's really even ready to give some money to this, to the Lord. Okay? You know, it's kind of one of these prayers. You're like, okay, God, if you will just do this, I'll come to church on Sunday. I'll even come to Sunday school. Yeah. And I'll even give you an offering.
And then he does it, and you've got to get up early.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the beginning of, I'm just showing you what God has said to Jacob and what he's going to do for him. Now that's awesome, isn't it? I mean, and so is that... It's blessing, but the Lord himself has been blessing Jacob. Okay? So go down to Genesis 31. We're just going to kind of cut through the story here. Genesis chapter 31, 1 through 3. I'm skipping over to getting the wives and everything. So in verse 31, 1 through 3, says, and he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which our fathers hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return into the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So here's another time the Lord appears to him and says, okay, it's time for you to go home.
But
you know,
what did he have to do so that Jacob would say, oh, I do, I better go home. You know, he made his father-in-law an enemy rather than a friend.
Right, and he'd kind of been doing that all along. They've been.
Jacob didn't really see it.
Right. Right, he was so blinded because he kind of like Samson had an eye problem, and he picked up two wives while he was there. But I mean, Laban messed him over every chance he got. And when you think about it, it's like, okay, so here we have this Jacob, and his name means what? Schemer, supplanter, con man, gets conned all the time by Laban. So if you're the best con man in the world, here's the deal: there's somebody out there that's going to con you.
Runs in the family.
Kind of runs in the family. Well, yeah.
And you know what it is, con, and he
con. How do you know that, Roger?
It's like his uncle Laban, isn't it?
Yes. Good comeback. Anyway, so again, the Lord appears to him. Okay? So go down to chapter 32. We'll see what else God does for him. In chapter 32, in verses 1 and 2. And again, I'm not hitting all of the things that God does for him, but I'm just giving you some highlights. In chapter 32, verses 1 says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." Okay, and let's go to verse 3. "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Well, this is on his way back. So he's on the way back, and he sees a host of the Lord. So what is that? A company of angels? I don't know exactly what he sees, but he sees these people. Okay, these angels. Because he calls them the angels of God met him. And we're not talking about people. We're actually talking about somebody that's going to go before him on the way back. Okay? And so there's one more blessing that he got from the Lord. So we're in chapter 32. Let's drop down to verses 6 through 12. So in verse 6 it says, in fact, let me just pick it back up in verse 3. "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom." And remember, he had ran from Esau. Now he's coming home, and he sends messengers to tell him he's coming. So I kind of wonder about that. Verse 4, "And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith unto thee, thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight.' And the messengers returned to Jacob saying," okay, so Jacob's wanting to try to make peace with his brother because he's coming back. And so the messengers come back and they say, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." That's when he's shaking in his boots. Okay? "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him," here's his scheming part going again, "and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, 'If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God,'" here's where I want to get to, "'And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of these mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed me, thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Okay, so in this story, Jacob reminds, I think that's in your blank under point two, number three, Jacob reminds the Lord of his promise to him. So Jacob is obeying the Lord. He's coming back to the land, and he sees he has a problem coming with Esau because he's coming with 400 men. And what does he do? Well, he does the smart thing. He goes back to the Lord and says, "Hey, remember you said this, and I'm going to take you up on this. Okay? Well, at least he has the sense to do that. Okay? So I'm trying to say his relationship with the Lord keeps growing through the story, and yet even through all this, we know Jacob. He's still a supplanter. And yet God uses him, God loves him, and God promises him things. And he promises his seed things, okay? So turn over to Genesis chapter, let's go back to chapter 32 and verse 22. See if I'm in the right spot here. Genesis 32 verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, the one whose hollow his thigh was hurt is Jacob. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him, and he said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Okay, so if you want to know who this guy is, let's keep reading, verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So again, Jacob sees the Lord again, and not only does he see him, he wrestles with him, okay? And he's wrestling, and that's kind of strange when you think about it. He's physically wrestling with the Lord. And he says, and I don't know why, maybe it's because he says, "Bless me," and he wouldn't bless him. So, you know, the next thing you know, he's grabbing him. Next thing you know, they're on the ground. You know how things like that go, right, Richard? No comment? Okay, good going. Anyway, he's wrestling with the Lord, which is strange, but at the same time, he knows who he is, and he says, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." So again, another instance where the Lord appears to Jacob. Okay? So how is Jacob's faith through all this? It should be growing in leaps and bounds. And we know this story when Esau comes, Esau doesn't massacre him, does he? So God protects him and God gets him back to the land. So everything that God promises him has come through. And so Jacob is, you know, he knows a good deal when he sees it. So he knows when the Lord's paying attention. And so he knows the Lord's been blessing him and he sees it. Okay, so in many of these blessings, Jacob, I don't know, did I give you these two blanks yet? Under four? He saw or he heard the Lord. So not only that, not only did he get the blessing from his father, not only does he get blessings from the Lord himself, let's look at what others said about Jacob. Let's see what Laban, the other schemer in the group, says about Jacob. Just go to Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. I'm just kind of playing Columbo today, throwing out the facts, or Dragnet, or whatever you want to call it. You know, what are the facts? Just the facts, okay? So what does Laban say in Genesis 30 and verse 27? Let's see here. And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Okay? So his own father-in-law says, hey, I know because you're here and you're working with me, you're blessing, the Lord's blessing me because of you. So that should tell Jacob something, shouldn't it? Okay. And so go down to chapter 31, 24 through 29. And this is on the way back, and Laban's getting ready to follow after him. Verse 24. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and he said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Okay. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with myrrh and with songs and with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, that thou hast now done foolishly in so doing? He goes, dude, why are you running? Why did you take my daughters and my grandkids and split town? That's basically what he's saying. Verse 29, it is in my power, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, Jacob. But the God of your father spoke unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So here's Laban. He even admits to Jacob that Jacob has a relationship with God. So he's telling them, okay. And so not only the words of Laban should help Jacob's faith, his wives, Leah and Rebekah, same way. In Genesis 31:16, we'll back up a little bit in the story, and he goes to them, and he's trying to tell them, he goes, hey, you know, it's time for us to go back to the land of my fathers and leave your father Laban, and he starts going through all this stuff and telling them why. Okay, 31:16 says, it's back up to verse 14. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there not yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? We are not counted of him strangers, for he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is our, for all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children's, now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So in other words, when he left, and he took his wives and his grandkids and all the animals and everything they had, his wives said, hey, God told you to do it. Which is good godly advice, right? So everyone in Jacob's vicinity, his father-in-law, his wives, God himself, all these people should be are referring to the fact that Jacob has a relationship with God, and that he should do what God tells them to do. Okay? And then we're going to look at what Esau tells him in Genesis 33 and verse 4. So this is Esau when he finally catches up to him. Chapter 33 and verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Okay? So he's so worried about meeting Esau, and yet God told him to go back and he would protect him, right? But he's still worried about it. How many of you have had God tell you something, but you still worry about it? Probably all of us. I mean, Jacob had, I mean, he had something to worry about, but God had already told him, hey, I got this. But yet, 400 men are still coming.
Okay, and he still had his conscience of what he had done to Esau.
That's true.
Taking away the blessings.
Right. And so he had all the things that he had done, and that things conspired between him and his brother, but yet God tells him, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to get you there. So who did he really need? So he's torn between those two things, like you said, Sharon. Okay? And so let's look at what Jacob himself even says in Genesis 31:42. chapter 31, verse 42 says, so he's talking with Laban. Verse 42 says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and he rebuked thee yesternight. That's when God had appeared to Laban and said, leave him alone. And yet here we have Jacob by his own mouth is saying, you know, except God has done this for me, you know, you would have probably wiped me out and took your grandkids and your daughters back. So, what do I want to say here? It took Jacob his entire life to truly trust in the Lord. So when he was old, he was confident, goes in your blank, that the Lord would bless his sons, his grandsons, and his seed in general. Because now we're at a point where Jacob is at the end of his life, and he goes, I can bless my grandsons and my sons because God has blessed me and he has come through every time that he said for me. And because I have my assurance in that, my faith is in that, then I know I can bless these people. Because why? I know God will do it. Okay? So it wasn't just a blanket blessing. He knew that God would bless them. Okay? And so again, he was confident that the Lord would bless his son. So let me try to wrap this up. Well, let me stop and see if I can find one more spot for you. I want to get back to where he met with Esau. So where is it that 33? Okay.
Verse
4? Yeah, let's go down a little farther though. So Esau, let's go to verse 9. And I'm just throwing this in for free. It's not in my notes. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. All that stuff, all those animals that, you know, he sent before him. You guys know the story. He goes to try to appease his brother and buy him off, kind of. He says, keep that. He goes, I've got enough, brother. I don't need your stuff. Okay? Keep that thou hast. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. You know, he's laying it on a little thick, I think. And thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. So do you think at this point, Jacob's like, number one, he's not here to kill me. Number two, I offered thee this present. So he's admitting right here that God's protecting him, right? And so he sees that. He says, take, I pray thee, verse 11, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. In other words, Esau says, I'm going to leave some men here with you, and I'm going to go have them go with you coming on back. And he goes, I'm going to have them help you drive your herds and all that. And he goes, no, I don't need it. You don't need to. It's not necessary. Because, you know, my group's pretty slow, and they just kind of go along, you know, just in a slow manner. And he goes, I don't need your guys. And in a nice way, I don't want them to be overran. You can't go very fast. So, yeah, I don't need your guys. Okay, verse 14. My Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and to Seir. So that's where Esau was at, I believe was in Mount Seir. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. See, he used the term folk. He's from down south. He says, okay, we won't all stay with you. I'll just leave a few of my guys with you to help you herd everybody along to get back to, you know. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way into Seir. Okay. And he took all his men with him. Got it? Let's keep reading. And Jacob journeyed on to Seir. Is that what your Bible says? So when they leave, they're all going to Seir. Esau goes back to Seir, David, and Jacob's like, okay, we'll be following along behind you. And as soon as he leaves, he doesn't go to Seir, he goes to Succoth. He's still scheming. Even though he believes God and is with him. So again, you can be following God and still do stupid things. That's what I'm trying to point out here. But still, through all the stupid things we do in our life, God's promises still come through. So let's read this statement I have. It takes a lifetime to fully develop our faith. It will take multiple times that we must see the Lord come through for us before we fully put our faith in Him. In all this time, we will continually sin and make huge blunders in our lives, just like the people in the Bible, just like Jacob, many of which we hold in high regard. Yes. Many of the people in the Bible that we hold in high regard. Yet through all the years of our lives, God's word never fails us. And we must show our faith to others so that their faith can grow also. What God did for the saints in the Bible, He will also do for us also. And again, Jacob's mentioned 25 times in 25 chapters in the Old Testament. He is a major player. Yet, he has one verse in Hebrews. But yet, he still has one verse. So let me tell you. If you're here and you think your life is a mess, and you've been a mess up, maybe you haven't lived the life you want for the Lord, doesn't make any difference. Well, I guess it does, but my point is, God's not done with you. And when you get to the point, well, you know, I've goofed up so much in my life, I haven't really done what I should have, I wish I should have done that, I wish I should have done this. Hey, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Make an effort to live your life for Christ and stop doing the goof-ups. But even when we do the goof-ups, God's word is still true. And so I look at these people in the Old Testament and I'm like, they may not be as great as I think they were, but yet, at the end, God doesn't count all, He doesn't mention any of this in Hebrews. He just mentions the fact that Jacob was faithful in blessing his sons and grandsons. And you know what? That's what's really going to count. Okay. Are we faithful in sharing our faith with other people? And we're going to mess up, yes, but we got to keep trusting the Lord. Okay, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories in your word. We thank you for people like Jacob who we see as a schemer and as a planner and a con man. And yet, Lord, he trusted in you because you are always faithful. And because of that, he put his faith in you and was able to bless his grandsons and his sons, Lord. So we just let us be like that too, Lord, with all the issues in our life and the mistakes we've made. Lord, if we are just faithful to you and share that with the people around us, you'll get the honor and you'll get the glory. And we just pray for that. I pray for that for everyone that's in here, Lord, that we would focus on serving you and showing our faith. And that I just pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I just read all this yesterday and
I'm reading. Ooh, so you needed this.
Yeah, so it goes, huh?